But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the Living Waters Broadcast.
A friend of mine was in the Air Force in his country, stationed at an air base on the coast. They had to do a certain amount of training hours flying every month. One day, my friend was in the control tower when the air traffic controller noticed a plane way out in the Pacific at a place where he should not have been. At that place in the country, the winds high up in the air where the planes fly can be very strong, sometimes 100, 200 kilometers per hour or even more. If a pilot was not careful, he could be carried out to sea and not have enough fuel to return. They taught the pilots about this and the need to take this in mind when flying. This very day, when my friend was there in the air traffic control room, the air traffic controller located a plane way out over the Pacific where he was not supposed to be. He called to the pilot and asked, "Where are you? Do you know where you are?" The pilot responded back by saying that he was in a certain position, not too far from the coast. The controller said, "No, you are far out at sea. You haven't calculated the wind speed that has carried you out over 200 kilometers. Do you have enough fuel to return?" He responded by saying, "No." His plane went down and he perished. "Do you know where you are?" He did not, and he perished. The first question that God made to man was this question in Genesis 3:9. Where are you? Where are you? How would you answer this question today? He's not asking if you're in a certain city or country. He's not asking about a geographical location. He is asking where you are in your relationship with him. Have you thought about this? Where are you in your relationship to God? Where are you in regard to eternity? Where are Adam and his wife Eve? In Genesis 3:10, Adam responds, "I was afraid and hid." Why is he afraid and why does he hide? What is he doing? He's hiding from God. What has he done to hide from God? He has rejected God's authority over his life, and he has substituted himself. He has put self in God's place in his life. God had told them that they could eat of any tree in the garden except for one. There was only one prohibition, and by obeying that, they could show their love to God by the obedience, and by disobeying, they would show their rebellion. The devil had told Eve in Genesis 3:5, "You will be like God." When they partook of the prohibited fruit, they were believing the lie that they would be like God. That is sin in its essence. It is putting ourselves in God's place in our lives. It is the desire to be independent of God, to go our own way and do our own thing. It is me first. Years ago, my wife and I had a big dog of 45 kilos and a cat. We lived out in the country and we would go to walk sometimes in the woods. The dog would always go with us and come back with us. At times in the woods, he might chase after a squirrel or a rabbit, but he would eventually come back to us and return home with us. The cat was different. She might go with us at times and come back. At other times, she might not decide to go at all or go part of the way and not come back. You see, the cat was independent. She was going to do her own thing, whether that was to come back with us or not. She was going to be her own boss. The dog was dependent. His will was subjected to our will, and he recognized us as his boss. As human beings, we are like the cat. We see that here in the case of Adam and Eve. They turned to their own way, as it says in Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That is the essence of sin. Men have given their wills over to the dominion of self, and that is the definition of sin. It is the putting of self in God's place. That's what Adam and Eve did, and that is what you and I have done. You may say, well, I'm a good person and have always been with God and have not done that. But what does the Word of God say? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And all includes you and me. He gives us the example of a sheep turning its back on the shepherd and going astray, going his own way. Leaving the shepherd, and when he is astray, he is not with the shepherd. That's what you and I have done, just like Adam and Eve. God then asks them about what they have done, if they have eaten the forbidden fruit. How do they respond? In Genesis 3:12, Adam responds by saying, "The woman whom thou gavest me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." He blames the woman, and he suddenly tries to blame God by saying that he gave him that woman. What does Eve say? "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." She blames the serpent. Mankind has not changed. We try to blame others, and we try to excuse ourselves. We are all very familiar with this. We can see it clearly in children. We are clearly guilty, and God will not be deceived by our excuses. Romans 2:16 tells us that God will judge the secrets of men. In Hebrews 4:13, he says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." We're not going to be able to hide or excuse our guilt or blame someone else. We are accountable to God, and we are all guilty of having gone astray as a sheep. We haven't eaten of the tree that Adam and Eve ate of, but in essence and principle, we have done the same thing. Turn from God to self, to go our own way and do our own thing. We have put self first. What are you going to do on Judgment Day, my friend? You won't be able to deny your sin. You won't be able to excuse your sin or blame someone else. In Genesis 3:15, God there talked about someone who was going to come. The seed, the descendant of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to provide a way of forgiveness for man, a way for man to be reconciled to God. One day, a friend of mine was walking down the sidewalk of a large avenue in a large town. A man was driving a nice Mercedes car, and a man from a side street pulled out in front of him in an old car. A lot of damage was done to the Mercedes, and a number of people stopped on the sidewalk. The man in the old car, who was at fault for having pulled out in front of the other car, didn't have any insurance or the money to pay for the other car. After a while, the man in the Mercedes told the other man that he forgave him. Someone listening in the group said this: "He who forgives does not get paid." Who then was going to fix the damaged car? the man who forgave was going to pay. To forgive the other man, it cost him. This is a little example to help us understand that for God to forgive us, he had to pay. He paid at the cross in the person of Jesus. He paid for our sin, and through him, God offers forgiveness to the sinner willing to confess his sin and return to the shepherd. Listen to 1 Peter 2:25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. My friend, have you returned? Have you surrendered? The lost sheep returns dirty and filthy. And my friend, you and I can return just as we are, guilty and dirty, and confess our sins and return to the shepherd, surrendering our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. To receive his pardon, to receive eternal life that only he can give. You see, my friend, the sheep goes astray, but the sheep makes a 180-degree turn and comes back and returns to the shepherd. That's what the Bible calls repentance. It's a 180-degree turn, turning from self, turning from our own way, to return to the shepherd. We don't have to make ourselves good to return to the shepherd. We don't have to earn his forgiveness or clean ourselves up or do any other type of works. We can return just as we are, and he will receive us, and he will pardon us, because Jesus paid the price on Calvary's tree. He assumed our sin. He received our sentence. He took our punishment. He took our place. He became our substitute. And through him, the guilty can be forgiven. Through him, the lost can be saved. Through him, the dirty can be cleansed. Through him, those who are headed for an eternal hell can receive eternal life and beheaded to heaven. Oh, my friend, as Adam and Eve sinned and turned away, in essence and in principle, you and I have done the same. The Bible says clearly that each of us has gone astray. We have turned to our own way. But God offers us the opportunity to repent, to turn from our own way, to come to him, to receive his forgiveness, to receive his love, to receive eternal life, and to be reconciled to God. My friend, today is the day of salvation. Today you can come. We don't know when the day of death will come. It could come tomorrow. It could come today. It could come in 50 years, but we need to be ready. Receive the salvation that is offered you through the Lord Jesus Christ.
This has been the Living Waters broadcast. If you'd like to reach us, send us an email at spiv6327@bellsouth.net. That's spiv6327@bellsouth.net.